Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Where you live, I think every hurricane alert must get your attention, because not only have you had some close calls, Hurricane Sally marched right over your house.
Oh, yeah. And it's hurricane season once again.
Really?
Yeah. This summertime, man. And we're about to get into prime time. I hadn't even thought about it. Well, I thought about it, but I hadn't thought about it recently. Now you bring it up. But, no, you get into August and certainly early and mid-September, that is prime hurricane season. I hope we're spared this year.
A friend of mine from Louisiana, which is next door to you, said it doesn't matter where you live in Louisiana, everybody has a boat in the backyard. It doesn't matter how close you are to water. You never know when water's going to come to visit.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody has a boat and an ATV. That's true.
Tim, the stock market's set new highs, although while we're talking, it's a down day. But overall, what's your view? What are you thinking?
Well, if you will recall, and I think you probably do. I mean, I have it in print. It's in my research letters. But, you know, as we moved, you know, into this time last year, the market was in a position where it could have peaked, but it never really materialized. And then as we made that last little push up into the, I think it was August 1st, July 31st or August 1st high, everything, what we did have was lost. And I said, from that very high, I said, no, you know, the decline that we saw that followed, there was an intermediate degree cycle load, you know, that we went down into October. And I said, no, we should better the August high. And then earlier this year, late last year, actually, we did. It wasted no time. I think once that October low was made, within a month, we had bettered the August high. And then, you know, this year we pressed into a high in March. It was an intermediate degree high in my world. And we rolled down into a low in April. And I said, nope. Because we didn't have what we needed to have. I didn't have my boxes checked for a longer-term top. I said, nope, we need to go higher. And I've been saying, actually, I put it, it was back in early this year, I've been saying in print, in the letters, that I felt like that this market would move higher into the third quarter. And, you know, when we made the May high, I got a little nervous because I had a few of my boxes checked. It could have developed early. But I stuck to the story, to my story based on my data, that I thought we would continue higher into the third quarter, and now we have. And so I still think that there's another high out there. I don't have enough of the boxes checked to say that I've seen the top of this move yet. But we are now in the third quarter, so my expectation there has been met. There's some things I need to see, and they have not set up yet. once they do, my expectation is that, if this setup bites, is that we're going to be facing the unwinding of, the biggest bubble in history. and it is going to put the entire global financial system at risk.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, yes. You know, we've talked about this before, but to put it all in try to put it in perspective, and you know, people forget, and it's hard sometimes to connect the dots. But you know, for the last 20 plus years, following, you know, I have said since the 2000 top that that was the organic top of the market, and I stick to that. And all one has to do, if they're old enough to think back, it's been so long now, but you know, that's when the powers that be, the money masters, started really manipulating the market. And I want to say manipulating just the infusions that we've seen with the debt creation. That's when things really started to get out of hand. Following the bursting of the bubble, the dot-com bubble in 2000. And from that low, they actually created, if you will, what I have deemed this last or the current long-term economic cycle. So I think this entire long-term, this entire cycle has been fabricated on the back of or fueled by that intervention. And, you know, that's not conspiracy, that's fact, because they have, I mean, every time, you know, it, coming out of the 2002 low, we did see intervention in the market, stimulus, whatever you want to call it, and they fueled us into the 2007 top, which was the longest extended four-year cycle top in history. And I said then that we would, once that the bubble, that bubble burst, I thought it was the unwinding of the bubble, but it turned out to be a correction within the bubble. But anyway, I said that it would take us below the 2002 low, and it did. And then coming out of that low, they do more of the same, more stimulus. So, you know, that's not conspiracy talk. It's a freaking fact. And they have stimulated this market at every turn. And you know, the last stimulus package, if you will, was seen with COVID. You know, and we were told how great the economy was in 18 and 19, and it was literally on edge when you look under the hood at some of the data. And the setup occurred, and then the COVID card, the stimulus card was used to reinflate, and now that has run its course. Or it's running its course, and we're facing another setup for another decline. And so this has been going on for 24 years, and it's basically what it amounts to is the entire global debt-based system is at risk. And we're facing now, you know, like I said, it first tried to crack with the previous long-term economic cycle and with the dot-com bubble. An entire new cycle began out of the 02 low, and then this is going to be the third attempted downturn out of that you know, this long-term cycle. And you know, the question is, will it bite, and can they save it? Well, I think it's going to bite. I think that's inevitable. That's a given. I'm seeing the setup with that now. Interest rates are starting to, we're starting to see some pressure on interest rates. And yes, equities have been up exactly as expected in accordance with, you know, what I've been thinking. But now we're getting into the zone where I think this setup could bite. And my expectation is for it to happen probably just ahead of the election, but in and around the election. It's like the perfect storm coming together with the financial political backdrop as we move into this election period, and I think we're going to see this thing quietly set up. And I think it's going to take a lot of people by surprise, because they're going to think, and you know, I don't know, I don't claim to have a crystal ball. My opinion is, and my opinion always has been, I think that in the selection process, they're going to put Trump back in. And I think everybody's going to think that everything's going to be great because, hey, it was so great last time when, you know, that he was in, but that was in a different position with the cycle. the wind was, they were fighting and trying to keep, you know, obviously the reinflate, but on the, it, within that context, they had some cycles at their back. Well, here, as we move into this new environment, not only is this last round of stimulus trying or it's running its course, but we're seeing these longer term cycles trying to roll over again. So we're in a completely different environment, and I see this thing coming together, and I think it's going to surprise a whole lot of people. It just has to come together. And so, no, I'm not surprised by the new highs. I expected them. I've written about them. But things aren't as they appear. And I think we face literally the risk of the entire global financial system if this thing bites, or once it bites.
Is there any way to prepare yourself for this? Should you be selling off now, or do you try to time the peak?
I'm not giving financial advice. I'm just providing the analysis. People can do with it as they please. But I think that the risk is tremendous, and people can do with that information what they want. I cover this in great detail in the research letters. I cover it mathematically, when I say mathematically, statistically, cyclically, and prove my case. So it's a matter of everything coming together, but it is a risk. I know we've talked about this bubble for years, and it doesn't change anything. Like I said, it's been going on for 24 years, and they've been fighting it and fighting it and fighting it and fighting it, and they've saved it, depending on how you want to look at it, three times. It was saved with the last cycle in with the dot-com bursting of the dot-com bubble. It was saved in 07, 08, 09, and it was saved in 2020. Can they do it again? And each time this has happened, everybody has talked about the, a lot of attention over the last year, two or three, really the last year more so, the federal debt, how it's stacking up and accumulating. And, each time one of these financial, don't want to use the word crisis because not each one of them are a crisis, but every time that you see a little wobble in the market, I mean, as far back as the early 70s, 70, you know, the 1974 bear market bottom, and then, you move into the 80s and even into the mid-80s and into the 90s, you can see any time the market kind of waffles a little bit, they step on the gas with the increase. People call it spending, but really what it is debt creation. And each time this has happened, it's taken more and more and more government spending, because like Richard Russell used to say, I didn't appreciate the comment that he made at the time, but he said, and he used the word, he said this a number of times, but he said, inflate or die. And the debt-based monetary system is based on the creation of debt, and it takes more and more. It's like a junkie; it takes more and more and more and more to keep this thing going. And that is what they've been fighting for the last 24 years. Like I said, since the bursting of the dot-com bubble, and now here we are, I think, setting up for another attempted bursting of that bubble. So I don't know if that answers your question. People can do with the information what they please.
Does AI mania have echoes of the dot-com bust of 2000?
I think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's always something. You go back into the 1800s and it was the railroads, and in the 90s and the dot-com bubble, in 2000 it was telecom and the dot-com era, and there's always, there's always something to point to. Absolutely.
Yeah, always something. I don't know if you followed the show Downton Abbey, but his lordship had lost his fortune in the railroads. He says, but I hear there's a guaranteed way to make money from this man, Mr. Ponzi.
Exactly.
And he was going to put what he had left into it.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it's a house of cards. When you dig into some of this stuff that I have discovered, it's just absolutely fascinating. When you look at these long-term cycles and the level of debt that it has taken to get us here and the level of debt it's going to take to get us out of this. But, you know, we're now seeing this thing start to we're seeing pressure on interest rates. Yeah, we're at a new high, but we're moving into a window where things could start to get interesting where we set up again. And it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think we're getting in the ballpark.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Man Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, what about gold in this kind of environment?
Well, my personal opinion, and again, it's based on data, is that people are, by and large, missing the boat on gold. And I know I'm the odd man out, and I know I have a story that no one wants to hear. But when you see it and you put it in perspective, it makes sense. But, you know, first of all, in each one of these downturns, gold has declined. It's went down with all of their assets. It turned down in 08, 09. It turned down into, it was a minor market low in 15, 16, but there was a major decline then in gold. Gold, not so much, but it turned down in 20. It's been strong, it kind of based in 20, 21, 22, and it's been strong more recently. People, they want to relate gold to being a safe haven in these financial, uncertain times, if you will. And I get that. But where I think the misconception is that what has happened is that each time we have turned into one of these or experienced one of these financial uncertain times, where we get a correction like, the 2000 top or the 07 top or even the 2020 top, it's been met with this intervention. And this intervention, like I said a while ago, inflate or die, it's caused enormous inflation. And so gold has been going up in sympathy with that inflation, which you would expect. But where I think people are missing the boat is they don't understand what we face. I mean, you see something, they see something a couple times, they see the pattern. Just like, well, things were great when Trump was in office last time, so things are going to be great when he goes back in office the next time. That's as far as they can see. They don't look back in time to get a better perspective. They draw correlations that aren't there or may not be there or may not be valid over the long term. And so what I'm saying about gold is that if it can't be saved again and we truly see the unwinding of the bubble, then we're going into a deflationary decline that cannot be stopped. And gold is not going to do well in that environment. And people don't want to hear that, but it's history proves that. So yes, it's worked. It's been wise at each one of the, because the efforts to save have worked. But when we get to the point where the efforts to save doesn't work, and we truly slip into that deflationary environment, things are going to change. And I think gold is going to go down just like every other asset class.
Is this going to be a period that we'll call where cash is king?
Absolutely. And I base that going all the way back into the 1800s. When you look at all the other downturns out of these long-term economic cycles, that has been the case. And, there's a lot of people, I don't have all the answers. There's a lot of people saying, well, You know, what about, you know, they want to use this, you know, crisis. There's a lot of people talking about, you know, the end of the dollar and all that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's bullshit too. Who knows about this fiat currency. I mean, this, not fiat currency, this CDBC thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe something like that is rolled out, but maybe that's smoke and mirrors too. I don't know. But what I do know is that in every one of these long-term, truly long-term cyclical downturns and historical financial crises like that, like we face. We face a downturn of a long-term economic cycle, but we have faced, there's never been anything like this. This is bigger than the tulip mania. This is the mother of all bubbles, but it's still within the context of a long-term economic cycle. And what I'm saying is that every time that's happened before, cash has indeed been king. So, and take that history for what it's worth as well.
Tim, what's the real story on inflation?
The real story on inflation is that it's been created. It's deflation that is the enemy to the system. That's the essence of what Richard Russell said many, 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 many years ago. It's inflate or die. The system has to be a constant creation of more and more and more debt to create the inflation to keep the system going. That's what they have been fighting for 24 years. The system has been trying to deflate since the dot-com bubble. And the intervention, that's what I'm saying, the intervention, every time they come into the market and create, they call it spending, it's the debt creation, they're creating the debt and creating the inflation to keep the system going. That's what I'm saying. It's all been created. And you get to the, you know, it's been, you look at it, it's a diminishing return. Can it be saved again? Or are they running out of the road to kick the can? And so that's the question. But at minimum, we're moving into a setup to where we're going to at least see this thing try to crack and turn down out of this long-term economic cycle. I suspect they're going to try to save it, and I suspect that they don't know if they can save it any more than you or I do or anybody else. If they do, they do. But it's going to create even more inflation. And how much more of that can the consumer take? You know, I talked to a friend this morning. He said he went to breakfast and got a pancake, a couple of pieces of bacon, and two cups of coffee, and it was $38. Really? I'm not paying $38 for a pancake, two slices of bacon, and coffee. And he said he's not going back. I mean, how much more inflation are people willing to tolerate? And so, at some point, they're going to say, the hell with it. I'm not doing that. I'm not spending that. And I know a lot of people that are doing that. It's not a matter of you can't afford to do it or whatever the case may be. So I'm not going to do it. And so there is a diminishing return with this reinflation effort. And what I'm saying is that as we move into this window for this downturn, this current downturn, I don't know that they can save it again, and I don't think they do either. So if they do, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but it's going to create even more inflation, which is detrimental to the ultimate collapsing of the biggest bubble in history. And if they can't, hey, we're there. So we're in dangerous times, and everybody is asleep at the wheel. Everybody's looking at, oh, the market's at 40,000, and everything's good, and Trump's going in office, and it's all going to be milk and honey again. Better get your head out of your ass.
Tim, what a way to end an interview.
I'm going through the data. I'm looking at this thing. I see it for what it is. And I'm telling you, no one is paying attention. They expect a little decline. They expect a little correction. And it's like I said, I got to see it set up. But it's coming. And slowly but surely, it's coming together.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He was speaking to us from Alabama. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at Howe Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.